Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? It's good to see so many familiar faces. Thank you for returning again for the conference. And it's our hope and joy that this week is a real encouraging time for you. I hope that the Lord does some great things in your life as well as in your ministry. I hope you connect with each other. I mean, everybody in this room is doing counseling. And that's one of the great joys, I think, of being in Track 4, is that every year you just get to spend time with people who care about the same things you care about. That's fun to do that, especially when counseling can be a little hard. Is that true? Like every now and then, like maybe once in a blue moon, it can be hard. And I don't, anybody else think that like at this point in your life, the easy cases are no longer going to you? Is there anybody that thinks, I mean, it seems like now the only cases I get are the really hard ones. Maybe some of you are thinking the exact same thing. The Lord was so gracious to us for years and years and years. We just got easy cases. We had no idea there were hard ones. Then we started doing it and more and more and more, and we realized, whoa, wow, there's some really challenging cases from time to time. But I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad that you choose to invest the time of your week and your energy, your resources to be here. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much that you are gracious and compassionate, that you are abounding in loving kindness and truth. And Lord, thank you that you provide true and genuine rest. And I pray that as we engage in this topic this morning, that you would help us to understand ways in which we get rest and we are rejoicing in that, and ways that maybe we don't, and we need to see a bigger picture. And so I pray that you would help us this morning to do just that. I thank you for all the families who are making this possible for each of us. In some cases, a person's taking more responsibility than they normally would. In other cases, there are people serving our children in order to allow us to be here. And we pray that you would give them a sweet time. We pray for the various ministries that are going on without our presence, and would ask that you would provide all the grace necessary for those things to continue on. Lord, we pray that you'd help us now in Christ's name. Amen. You know, each year I think about Track 4 in some big, broad categories, like, for example, sessions that deal with hard cases or hard situations. I want some of that in Track 4. Another category is sessions that help you lead ministries, because I realize a number of you are actually leading other counselors. So it's not just you doing something, it's you leading others to do something. And then sessions that help you personally. They're just issues that we deal with as people, as counselors, as leaders, that it helps us to think about for our own soul. And I think this one in particular fits the third category. And that is, how do we deal with the issues of spiritual rest? This originated out of a few problems that I was thinking about, especially over this last year. The first one is burnout. When people talk about burnout, what do they mean? And then when they think about burnout, what do they believe is the right solution to that? So they describe being exhausted, unable to focus or accomplish task, developing less concern or failing to accomplish assignments. But it seems that when somebody says, I'm burned out, they're saying something more than just, I'm really tired today. They're actually moving from a moment of time of being overwhelmed to a state of being. Like when they talk about being burned out, they're talking about their state, their condition. It's more than just life is hard today, but life will be better tomorrow. It's that there's constant overwhelmed feelings, and therefore they are not getting done the things that they believe God wants them to do. And so what do they propose as a solution? Well, I need a better work-life balance. Or I need a prolonged period without pressure. That's what's going to make the difference. Sadly, some of them have tried those things and they have not worked. And so that means, practically speaking, when you and I are leading counseling ministries, we might have volunteers or other servants in our ministry that reduce or end their serving in the hopes of addressing their burnout. Now, for all of us who are ministry leaders, we're thinking, okay, all right, well, if you do that, what's going on in the back of your head? Who's going to take your place? Is it all going to come back on me now? Did I just get loaded because you decided that the answer to burnout is to back away? I think all of us care about that. I'm not saying that the answer is just deal with it. The answer is just suck it up. I think the Bible has a better answer, but a more significant and more complicated answer. A second problem is some believers don't see the richness of the Bible's concept of rest. In other words, it's too small. You know, there are some words in the Bible that are technical, and some words in language that are technical. They only mean one thing. So if I told you that I was having a conversation with my gynecologist the other day, you would think, what are you talking about? Unless you happen to know that I was having a conversation with Dan Wickert. And then you'd be like, oh, okay, it's a joke, I get it. Under normal circumstances, that phrase just wouldn't make any sense. Well, my question is, what does rest mean? When we ask ourselves, what does the Bible mean by rest, are we talking about something technical? Like, there is one thing. This is the definition of rest. Or are we actually painting with a much broader and wider brush where rest can mean half a dozen things? And the question then we need to pose next is, well, what kind of rest are you talking about? A third potential problem is we create phrases like rest in peace to avoid discussing the realities of hardships like death. I mean, what does it even mean to say rest in peace? Our world uses it. What does that even mean? So here's what I decided to do. I thought it would be helpful then to take somewhat of an inductive approach to Scripture and ask, well, what does the Bible's data on rest look like? What does it say? What are some themes that I can begin drawing out? And then what might those themes look like in real life? So here's some data on rest. I like to use, you know, handy-dandy resources like Accordance or Logos. And in the New American Standard, there are 292 occurrences of the word rest, with at least 10 different original words to highlight them. And then when you start asking the question, well, what about other words that might describe rest, but aren't the word rest? And you realize the Bible has a lot to say about rest. CCF, I think this last year, did a three-day conference on rest. And at the end of the session that I wrote, I thought, you know what? You need a three-day conference to talk about rest. Because there are so many different aspects of rest that God talks about. Sometimes the word rest just means remaining. But there are a lot of other times it is speaking about the reality of some aspect of either physical or spiritual rest. So here are some categories. Number one is the physical ceasing from striving in work. Okay, great. I think that's one that most of us would have had in our minds. Here's what God says. He commands one day off in seven. He commands one day off in seven. So Genesis 5:29, now he called his name Noah, saying,